my bear. And I decided you needed to have a tape with some stories on. I've sent you a book, and it's about a king and about a lion. And the name of it is The King's Choice. It's got a picture of a lion on the front and a camel. I want you to take that book, and I want you to go sit down. But first, run, go get a blanket to sit on. Hurry, fast. I'll count while you go get a blanket. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Are you there? Are you ready? Have you got the book? Okay. Open the book up to the very first page, the one with the lion on it. And I'll read you the story, and when I want you to turn the page, I'll ring the bell. Okay? Are you ready? There was once a lion who was king of the forest. He was big and strong. He was both handsome and fierce. All the other animals in the forest called him king and brought him gifts from every corner of the land. But the more the lion had, the more he wanted. A king must have a court, he said to himself one day. The lion called to the fox at his side. You are known to be a wise and clever creature, fox. This said the lion. I want you to be my advisor. Thank you, your majesty, said the fox, bowing low. The lion next called the leopard to his side. You are known to be watchful and swift of foot, leopard. I want you to be my bodyguard, said the lion. Thank you, your majesty, said the leopard, bowing low. The lion then called a vulture to his side. You are a bird, vulture, and can fly high. The lion said, you will be my messenger. Thank you, your majesty, said the vulture, bowing low. The fox, the vulture, and the leopard took an oath of loyalty to the king. The king promised to meet them as friends and to give them food and protection. For some time, all went well in the lion's king court. The three couriers never opposed the king. His wishes were law. Whenever he roared, they came running. Whenever he took a walk, they meekly followed behind him. When the lion king went hunting, they found the animals for him to kill. And after he had had his meal, he left the remains for them. So they always had enough to eat. One day the vulture came back from a flight. Your Majesty, have you ever tasted camel? He asked. I ate a camel in the desert once, and it's very nice. The lion had never seen a camel, but he liked the idea of trying camel meat. But where can we get a camel? He asked. There is a desert some miles away, said the vulture. I've just been flying over it, and I saw a lone camel. It looked big and fat. And the lion looked at his other advisors for their opinion. Now the fox and the leopard had never seen a camel either, but they did not want the vulture to seem wiser than they. So they said it was a good idea if the vulture would fly ahead and show them the way. So the vulture's idea was approved, and the next morning the lion and his court started off on a camel hunt. They reached the edge of the desert easily, but after they'd left the shelter of the forest, the day became very hot. The sun shone down with fire-hot rays. The vulture flew high up in the cooler air. Hurry along, he called. The camel is not far off. But the lion could not hurry any more. The hot sand had burned his paws. Stop! He shouted to the others. I can walk no farther. let's go back to the forest. I do not care to try camel meat." The lion's king's advisors were frightened. The forest was far behind them. They did not know how to get the lion back home. The leopard wanted to run away. The vulture wanted to watch and wait and eat the lion later on. But the clever fox thought of a plan. Off into the desert he ran, saying, "I will soon bring help." After running for some time, the fox found the camel. The camel was indeed surprised to see a fox there in the desert. "Hurry up, friend camel," said the fox. "Our king wants you at once." "Your king?" said the camel. "Who is he? I do not know any king. I only know my master, for whom I carry goods across the desert." "Our king, the lion, has killed your master," said the fox. "Now you are free, and the lion has invited you to live at his court. Come along." So the camel followed the fox, and when the fox and the camel reached the lion's camp, the vulture and the leopard were surprised. The lion looked pleased in spite of his burned paws. The camel was presented to the king and agreed to serve the lion in return for home at his court. "Get on the camel's back, your majesty," said the fox. "We will return home." The lion at once jumped on to the camel's back. His courtiers and the fox and the leopard jumped up behind him, and with the vulture flying ahead as a guide, they set off on a long journey back to the forest. When the travelers again reached the king's domain, they were all very tired and hungry after a long day. The fox and the leopard and the vulture looked at the camel. Then they looked at one another and smiled hungry smiles. They brought the camel for the king's dinner. Now it was time for the feast. The Lion King knew what his courtiers were thinking. He called the camel to him. "Friend camel," he said, "I have to thank you for saving my life. You are welcome to live at my court as long as you wish. I promise you my protection." This did not please the courtiers a bit. Here they had they not risked their lives so they could try camel meat. And now the king wanted to let the camel live, but they could do nothing. After all, the king was the king. So they waited. Now the lion's paws were badly burned that he did not feel like going hunting. But that did not keep him from being very hungry indeed. "Fox! Leopard! Vulture!" he shouted. "Don't you see that I'm hungry? Go and get me some food." The courtiers had to obey the king, so out they went. But they did not go far. In a safe place, they sat down and discussed what they could do. "I know," said the fox after a while. "We shall make the camel ask to be eaten." And he told the others of his plan. They all agreed that it was good, and they went back to the king. First, the vulture stepped forward, bowing low. "Your majesty," he said, "we have found no food. But we cannot let your majesty suffer. I am a poor creature. Eat me." The fox pushed the vulture aside. "I have more meat on me," he said. "Eat me, your majesty." Now the leopard rushed forward. "I am not much good," he said, "but I could make a meal for a king." The camel listened to all these offers and thought, "He must do as much." "Your majesty," he said, "I, too, am willing to give away my life to save the life of the king. These old friends are more useful to you than I am. Eat me instead." At these words, the fox and the leopard and the vulture prepared to jump at the camel. This is what they were waiting for. But the lion stopped them. "You are all good and loyal subjects," he said. "My heart is touched by your offers, and I accept them all. I shall eat you in the order in which you offered yourselves." The vulture and the fox and the leopard were shocked. This did not suit them at all. Away flew the vulture, and away ran the fox and the leopard, and they were never seen in that part of the forest again. The lion laughed to see them go. Then he turned to the camel and said, "You have been truly loyal and good. You shall be my friend as long as we both shall live. Now let us go through the forest and see if we can find a meal for ourselves." The camel was happy and grateful, and the lion thought to himself, "To be a king is good, but to be kind is better." Now, wasn't that a good story? Okay, close your book. Got your book set down? Wiggle your fingers a little bit. Get out the wiggles. Now I'm going to tell you about Mother Goose. Mother Goose is a bunch of poems and different little tiny short stories. And I think maybe you'll know some of these. First of all, we're talking about Baa-baa Black Sheep. Baa-baa Black Sheep, have you any wool? Yes, sir, 3 bags full. One for my master, one for the dame, and one for the little boy who lives in the lane. Maybe that should read, and one for the little boy, Scott, who lives in the lane. Do you know about Old King Cole? Old King Cole was a merry old soul, and a merry old soul was he. He called for his pipe, and he called for his bowl, and he called for his fiddlers three. Little Jack Horner sat in a corner, eating his Christmas pie. He put in his thumb and pulled out a plum and said, "What a good boy am I." How about Little Miss Muffet? Little Miss Muffet's just about Jenny's size, and listen what happened to her. Little Miss Muffet sat on a tuffet. Tuffet's kind of like a pillow. Little Miss Muffet sat on a tuffet, eating her curds and whey. There came a big spider and sat down beside her and frightened Miss Muffet away. Here's about a funny kind of pie. Sing a song of sixpence, a pocket full of rye. 24 blackbirds baked in a pie. When the pie was opened, the birds began to sing. Wasn't that a dainty dish to set before the king? You know, maybe as a surprise, you and Mommy could make a pie for Dad with 24 blackbirds. I think he would be surprised. Little girls. What are little girls made of? What are little girls like Jenny made of? Sugar and spice and everything nice. That's what little girls are made of. Little boys. Little boys like Scott. What are little boys made of? What are little boys made of? Snakes and snails and puppy dog tails. That's what little boys are made of. There was an old woman who lived in a shoe. She didn't live in a house, she lived in a shoe. She had so many children, she didn't know what to do. She gave them some broth without any bread, and spanked them all soundly and sent them to bed. Here's one I want you to learn. I'm going to say it first, and then you say it with me. A diller, a dollar, a 10 o'clock scholar. What makes you come so soon? You used to come at 10 o'clock, and now you come at noon. Can you say that with me? A diller, a dollar. A diller, a dollar. A 10 o'clock scholar. What makes you come so soon? You used to come at 10 o'clock, and now you come at noon. Should we say it faster? A diller, a dollar, a 10 o'clock scholar. What makes you come so soon? You used to come at 10 o'clock, and now you come at noon. Here's one about Tom. Tom, Tom, the piper's son, stole a pig and away he ran. The pig was eat, and Tom was beat, and Tom went crying down the street. I think if I was beat, I'd go crying too. Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down and broke his crown, and Jill came tumbling after. Here's Georgie Porgy. Do you know Georgie Porgy? Why don't you say it with me? Georgie Porgy pudding and pie kissed the girls and made them cry. When the boys came out to play, Georgie Porgy ran away. Peter, Peter, pumpkin eater, had a wife and couldn't keep her. He put her in a pumpkin shell, and there he kept her very well. Old Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard to get her poor dog a bone. But when she got there, the cupboard was bare, and so the poor dog had none. Little Boy Blue, come blow your horn. The sheep's in the meadow, the cow's in the corn. Where is the little boy who looks after the sheep? He's under the haystack, fast asleep. Little Bo Peep has lost her sheep and can't tell where to find them. Leave them alone, and they'll come home wagging their tails behind them. Now, our very last one for today. Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. Okay, I want both of you to stand up straight and tall, put your hands straight up in the air, and then bring them down in front of you. I want you to wiggle your fingers. Hurry, wiggle your fingers a whole bunch. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Now I want you to wiggle your toes. Wiggle your toes. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Now wiggle your shoulders. Come on, wiggle your shoulders. Now wiggle your nose like a little bunny rabbit. Let's do it again. I wiggle my fingers and I wiggle my toes. I wiggle my shoulders and I wiggle my nose. Now, I'm going to tell you a couple of stories that your daddy used to think was the very best stories when he was a little boy. He used to say, Mommy, please tell me this story. Please tell me about Little Black Sambo. The lady that wrote Little Black Sambo was named Helen Bannerman. Once upon a time, there was a little black boy, and his name was Little Black Sambo, and his mother was called Black Mumbo, and his father was called Black Jumbo, and Black Mumbo made him a beautiful little red coat and a pair of beautiful little blue trousers. Trousers are pants. And Black Jumbo went to the bazaar and bought him a beautiful green umbrella and a lovely little pair of purple shoes with crimson soles and crimson linings. And wasn't Little Black Sambo grand? So he put on all his fine clothes and went out for a walk in the jungle. And by, he met a tiger. And the tiger said to him, Little Black Sambo, I'm going to eat you up. And Little Black Sambo said, Oh, please, Mr. Tiger, eat me up, and I'll give you my beautiful little red coat. So the tiger said, Very well, I won't eat you this time, but you must give me your beautiful little red coat. So the tiger put on poor Little Black Sambo's beautiful little red coat and went away, saying, Now I'm the grandest tiger in the jungle. And Little Black Sambo went on. And by, he met another tiger. And it said to him, Little Black Sambo, I'm going to eat you up. And Little Black Sambo said, Oh, please, Mr. Tiger, don't eat me up. And I'll give you my beautiful little blue trousers. So the tiger said, Very well, I won't eat you this time, but you must give me your beautiful little blue trousers. So the tiger cut poor Little Black Sambo's beautiful little blue trousers and went away saying, Now, I'm the grandest tiger in the jungle." And Little Black Sambo went on, and by and by he met another tiger, and it said to him, "Little Black Sambo, I'm going to eat you up." And Little Black Sambo said, "Oh, please, Mr. Tiger, don't eat me up. I'll give you my beautiful little purple shoes with crimson soles and crimson linings." But the tiger said, "What use would your shoes be to me? I've got 4 feet, and you've only got 2. You haven't got enough shoes for me." But Little Black Sambo said, "Oh, you could wear them on your ears." "So I could," said the tiger. "That's a very good idea. Give them to me, and I won't eat you up this time." So the tiger got poor Little Black Sambo's beautiful little purple shoes with crimson soles and crimson linings, and went away saying, "Now I'm the grandest tiger in the jungle." And by and by, Little Black Sambo met another tiger, and it said to him, "Little Black Sambo, I'm going to eat you up." And Little Black Sambo said, "Oh, please, Mr. Tiger, don't eat me up. I'll give you my beautiful green umbrella." But the tiger said, "How can I carry an umbrella when I need all my paws for walking with?" "You could tie a knot in your tail and carry it that way," said Little Black Sambo. "So I could," said the tiger. "Give it to me, and I won't eat you this time." So he got poor Little Black Sambo's beautiful green umbrella and went away saying, "Now I'm the grandest tiger in the jungle." And poor Little Black Sambo went away crying because the cruel tigers had taken all his fine clothes. Presently, he heard a horrible noise that sounded like a grrr, and it got louder and louder. "Oh, dear," said Little Black Sambo, "there are all the tigers coming back to eat me up. What shall I do?" So he ran quickly to a palm tree and peeped around to see what the matter was, and there he saw all the tigers fighting and disputing which of them was the grandest. And at last they all got so angry that they jumped up and took off all the flying clothes and began to tear each other with their claws and bite each other with their great big white teeth. And then they come rolling and tumbling right to the foot of the very tree where Little Black Sambo was hiding. But he jumped quickly behind the umbrella. And the tigers all caught hold of each other's tails as they wrangled and scrambled, and so they found themselves in a ring around the tree. Then when the tigers were very wee and very far away, Little Black Sambo jumped up and called out, "Oh, tigers, why have you taken off all your nice clothes? Don't you want them anymore?" But the tigers only answered, "Arr!" So Little Black Sambo put on all his fine clothes again and walked off. And the tigers were very, very angry, but they still would not let go of each other's tails. And they were so angry that they ran around the tree trying to eat each other up. And they ran faster and faster till they were whirling so fast that you couldn't see their legs at all. And they still ran faster and faster and faster till they all just melted away. And there was nothing left but a great big pool of melted butter around the foot of the tree. Now Black Jumbo was coming home from his work with a great big brass pot in his arms. And when he saw what was left of all the tigers, he said, "Oh, what lovely melted butter. I'll take that home to Black Mumble for her to cook with." So he put it all into the great big brass pot and took it home to Black Mumble to cook with. When Black Mumble saw the melted butter, wasn't she pleased? "Now," said she, "we'll all have pancakes for supper." So she got the flour and the eggs and the milk, sugar and butter, and she made a huge big plate of the most lovely pancakes, and she fried them in melted butter, which the tigers had made. And they were just as yellow and brown as little tigers. And then they all sat down to supper, and Black Mumbo ate 27 pancakes, and Black Jumbo ate 55, but Little Black Sambo ate 169 because he was so hungry. Did you like that story? Your daddy thought that was a real good story. And now, let's see, what do we need to do now? Let's count. I want you to count with me. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Are you saying the numbers with me? 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. How many fingers do you have, Scott? Look at your hand. Jenny holds yours up. Let's count. Start with your thumb. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now try your other hand. Start with your little finger. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 on each hand. Now if you take 5 and you add 5, you get 10. So all together you got 10 fingers. Is that what you've got? That's what I've got. Maybe you'll have to ask Mom how many she's got. Next time you see her, you ask her to count how many fingers she's got. Let's see, what's another story I could tell you? Oh, let's play this game. Sit down on the blanket. Are y'all sit down? Okay, I want you to cross your legs in front of you like an Indian sits. Now I'm going to tell you a little tiny poem that your daddy used to sing when he was a little boy. You'll have to ask daddy to show you all the actions to it. Are you ready? Got your legs crossed? Come, let's play we're Indians, away out in the west. I will be the chief, because I'm nicer than the rest. Do you like to do that? Should we do it again? Okay. Are you ready? Come, let's play we're Indians away out in the west. I will be the chief because I'm nicer than the rest. Okay, stand up. Stand up quick. I want you to look around and I want you to run over and touch something that's blue. Run fast. Find something that's blue. Go touch it, quick. Did you find something blue? Now, come back and stand again by your blanket. Let's see. Is there anything green in your room? Run quick. Find something green and touch it, and run fast back to the blanket. Fast! Did you find something green? Okay, now come back. How about pink? Is there something pink in that room? Look around. Have sharp eyes. Find something pink. I know. If there isn't anything pink in that room, I bet there's something pink in Jenny's room. Way you go. Run down to Jenny's room and find something pink and touch it and come right back. I'll count while you're gone. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12. Are you back? Okay, sit on the blanket. What number did you get back on? Was it 8 or 7? Next time, listen real close. What did you find pink in Jenny's room? Was it a blanket? Oh, I bet it was something to do with strawberry shortcake. Because I think she wears pink. Okay, sit down on the blanket. I have another story to read to you. This is Jana's book. Jana likes this book so well because her grandma and Grandpa Lewis bought it for her because Uncle Lonnie had to have this story read to him every night. And the name of this story is The Velveteen Rabbit. It's by Marjorie Williams. That's the name of the lady that wrote this book, The Velveteen Rabbit.